Think Like a Freak. Authors Stephen D. Levitt, Stephen J. Dunbar. Thinking like a freak means you should work hard to identify and attack the root cause of the problems. It's time to bury the idea that there's a right way and a wrong way, a smart way and a foolish way. The modern world demands that we all think a bit more productively, more creatively, more rationally, that we think from a different angle, with a different set of muscles and with a different set of expectations, that we think with neither fear nor favour, with neither blind optimism nor sour scepticism. Thinking like a freak requires you to build on the below concepts. Incentives are the cornerstone of modern life. Knowing what to measure can make a complicated world less so. The conventional wisdom is often wrong. Correlation does not equal casualty. The soccer choice. Imagine you're a soccer player and that you've led your nation to the brink of a World Cup championship. All you must do now is make a single penalty kick. If the ball goes in, you'll be a hero. Roughly 75% of penalty kicks at the elite level are successful. Once the ball rockets off your boot, it will travel at around 80 miles per hour. At such speed, the goalkeeper can't afford to wait and see where you kick the ball. He must just take a guess and fling his body in that direction. Your options are, best but risky, kick towards the corner of the goal with enough force that the keeper cannot make the save even if he guesses correctly, but such a shot leaves little margin for error. A slight missed kick and you'll miss the goal. Eased up a bit, aim slightly away from the corner, it's much safer. It gives the keeper a better chance if he does guess correctly. You know the keeper is optimising between jumping right and left. The data says that keepers jump left 57% of the time and right 41%, which means they stay in the centre only 2 times out of 100. As risky as it may appear, it's 7 percentage points more likely to succeed than a kick to the corner. At first glance, aiming to the centre looks like a terrible idea. That just seems unnatural and obvious violation of common sense. One advantage the kicker has on the penalty kick is mystery. The keeper doesn't know where he will aim. If kickers did the same thing every time, their success rate would plummet. If they started going on centre more often, keepers would adapt. But there is a third and important reason why more kickers don't aim to the centre, especially in high-stakes settings like the World Cup. But no soccer player in his right mind would ever admit the fear of shame. If you follow this selfish incentive, protecting your own reputation, then you're more likely to kick toward a corner. If you follow the communal incentive, trying to win the game for your nation, even though you risk looking personally foolish, you will kick towards the centre. The three hardest words in the English language. It's been long said that the three hardest words to say are, I love you. In modern life, we have to disagree. For most people, it's much harder to say, I don't know. That's a shame, for until you can admit what you don't yet know, it's virtually impossible to learn what you need to. It can be hard to ever really know what caused or solved a given problem, and that's for events that have already happened. Just think how much harder it is to predict what will work in the future. Why? The consequences of pretending to know can be so damaging. In most cases, the cost of saying, I don't know, is higher than the cost of being wrong, at least for the individual. Every time we pretend to know something, we are doing the same, protecting our own reputation rather than promoting the collective good. None of us want to look stupid, or at least overmatched, by admitting that we don't know an answer. The moral compass. There is one more explanation for why so many of us think we know more than we do. It has to do with something we carry with us everywhere we go, even though we may not consciously think about it. A moral compass. Each of us develops a moral compass as we make our way through the world. When you are consumed with the rightness or wrongness of a given issue, whether it's fracking or gun control or genetically engineered food, it's easy to lose the track of what the issue actually is. A moral compass can convince you that all the answers are obvious. What's your problem? If it takes a lot of courage to admit you don't know all the answers, just imagine how hard it is to admit you don't even know the right question. But if you ask the wrong question, you're almost guaranteed to get the wrong answer. Think about a problem you'd really like to see solved. Ask yourself how you came to define the problem as you see it. In all likelihood, your view was heavily influenced by popular press. Most people don't have time or inclination to think very hard about big problems like this. We tend to pay attention to what other people say, and if their views resonate with us, we slide our perception atop theirs. Furthermore, we tend to focus on the part of the problem that bothers us, Here is the broader point. Whatever problem you're trying to solve, make sure you're not just attacking the noisy part of the problem that happens to capture your attention. Before spending all your time on resources, it's incredibly important to properly define the problem, or better yet, redefine the problem. Why is this so rare? It takes a truly original thinker to look at a problem that everyone else has already looked at and to find a new avenue of attack. Perhaps because most of us, when trying to figure out a problem, we gravitate towards the nearest and most obvious cause. Big problems that society care about, crime and disease and management dysfunction, for instance, are more complicated than that. Their root causes are often not so nearby or obvious. So rather than address their root causes, we often spend billions of dollars treating the symptoms and are left to grimace when the problem remains. It can be unsettling, even frightening, to stare at the root cause in the eye. Maybe that's why we so often avoid it. When it comes to analysed crime rates, for example, it's a lot easier to argue about cops and prisons and gun laws than thorny question of what makes a parent fit to raise a child. But if you want to have a worthwhile conversation about crime, it makes sense to start talking about the benefits of good, loving parents who give their children a chance to lead safe and productive lives. When you are dealing with a root cause, at least you know that you are fighting with the real problem and not just boxing with shadows. Think like a child. Kids are also relentlessly curious and relatively unbiased. Because they know so little, they don't carry around the preconceptions that often stop people from seeing things as they are. When it comes to solving problems, this is a big advantage. Preconceptions lead us to rule out a huge set of possible solutions simply because they seem unlikely or repugnant, because they don't pass the smell test or have never been tried, because they don't seem sophisticated enough. Kids are not afraid to share their wildest ideas. Come up with a terrible idea? No problem, just don't act on it. So, when it comes to solving problems, channeling your inner child can really pay off. It all starts with thinking small.